You'll find our scripture reading in the Old Testament scriptures in the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel and the 23rd chapter. The book of 1 Samuel, chapter 23, and we'll commence our reading at verse 1. 1 Samuel 23, and reading from the first verse. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Then they told David, saying, "Behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors." Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and smite these Philistines?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go and smite the Philistines, and save Keilah." And David's men said unto him, "Behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?" Then David inquired of the Lord yet again. And the Lord answered him and said, "Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand." So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. And it came to pass, when Abiathar the son of Ahimelech fled to David to Keilah, that he came down with an ephod in his hand. And it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah. And Saul said, "God hath delivered him into mine hand, for he is shut in by entering into a town that hath gates and bars." And Saul called all the people together to war, to go down to Keilah, to besiege David and his men. And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. And he said to Abiathar the priest, "Bring hither the ephod." Then said David, "O Lord God of Israel, thy servant hath certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant." And the Lord said, "He will come down." Then said David, "Will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul?" And the Lord said, "They will deliver thee up." Then David and his men, which were about 600, arose and departed out of Keilah, and went whithersoever they could go. And it was told Saul that David was escaped from Keilah, and he forbare to go forth. And David abode in the wilderness in strongholds, and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life. And David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood, and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, "Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul my father knoweth." And they two made a covenant before the Lord, and David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. Ending our reading at the 18th verse, knowing that the Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his precious word, for Christ's sake. Amen. Again, seek the Lord in prayer before we come to the preaching of his word. Let us pray. Our gracious God and Father in heaven, again we draw nigh to thee in our Saviour's worthy name. We thank thee for a sense of thy presence with us. We thank thee for grace given to lift our hearts and voices in praise to thee. We thank thee for help given too as we have sought thee in prayer and read thy word. And O God, as we turn now to the preaching forth of thy truth, I cry to thee for help. help from the sanctuary. I seek that fresh infilling of the Spirit, so that the word proclaimed today will go forth in the power of God. Come nigh to us, draw nigh to our hearts, open up our hearts, speak to us, cause us to hear thy word, and oh, may we all know thy blessing upon our souls today. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. David's victory over Goliath brought him into the court of Saul. There was for a time that Saul looked upon David with favor and indeed with a measure of goodwill. But that was not to last for a great length of time. We find that Saul's eye soon began to burn with envy against David. It became a very jealous eye that was constantly viewing him as a threat to his own position. It got to the extent whereby Saul was out to get his life. So David was really a fugitive. We've been reading here in 1 Samuel 23, in verse 14, towards the end of that verse, where Saul sought him every day. So he was really on the lookout, that is, David was, lest Saul would come and capture him and his life would be no more upon this earth. We find from the verses we've been reading here in 1 Samuel 23 that David finds himself here in the wilderness of Ziph, in a wood. But he has a friend who's going to come and meet with him. This friend happens to be the son of Saul, Jonathan by name. And Jonathan knows of David's presence here in the wilderness, in this wood. And so he's going to arrange to meet with him. And he does so. He hasn't come just to engage in a little bit of chat, as we might say. But he has come with a very, very definite purpose in his mind. He knows the situation that David is in, the circumstances that he's facing, and as a good friend, he's coming to speak to him. And he's coming to speak to him with a most definite purpose in mind. And that purpose can best be summed up in words that we read here in 1 Samuel 23 and verse 16. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood. And then we read these words, and strengthened his hand in God. So he had come with that purpose in mind, that when he would meet with his friend David in these circumstances, he would be the means under God of strengthening his hand. And that's really the theme that I want to draw your attention to for just a little while today. And the subject that I want to consider with you is encouragement. Encouragement in times of trial. Encouragement in times of difficulty. Because David was certainly in much difficulty. And Jonathan, his friend, has now come to give encouragement to his heart. And so with that theme before us, the first thing I draw your attention to is simply this. This encouragement examined. This encouragement examined. He had come to strengthen his hand. Those words are really a figure of speech. It doesn't mean that Jonathan was coming to somehow put more physical strength into the hands of David. No, he's coming to strengthen his resolve. We find that this is an expression that occurs in other places in the Scriptures. And it's really got a twofold sense in God's Word. It's speaking certainly of a course of action, this strengthening of the hand. But we find there are places in the scriptures where it's speaking about an intensifying of an evil or a wicked course. And it's also, as we shall find here, intensifying for a very good purpose. But just for a moment to speak about it when it refers to an evil purpose. I remind you of some words that we read in the book of Judges, over in Judges chapter 9, in connection with Abimelech and the Shechemites. And we read that the men of Shechem, they came and that they aided him in the killing of his brethren. They aided him. And if you've got a marginal reading in your Bible, you'll see that that could be literally translated, they came to strengthen his hands. But they were coming to strengthen his hands for an evil purpose, to commit a wicked deed. Then another place where we find this, speaking about an evil purpose, is in the prophecy of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 23. When we speak about Jeremiah, we're often thinking about the weeping prophet. And he was a weeping prophet. He was a faithful prophet. He was a true prophet of God. And yet we read here in Jeremiah 23, in verse 9, "Mine heart within me is broken." He's referring to himself. He feels his heart here is breaking. "My heart within me is broken because of the prophets." Because of the prophets? Yes, sadly, because of the prophets. And who were these prophets that he's speaking of and referring to? Well, we're told here in Jeremiah 23 and verse 16, when the Lord speaks, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you." Why? Well, they're false prophets. And we're told in verse 16, "They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord." And then when we come to verse 14 of this same 23rd chapter, "I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies." That's these false prophets. And then these words, "They strengthen also the hands of evildoers." So there we have this phrase again, this strengthening of the hand of evildoers, the intensifying of a course of action in an evil purpose. But then we have it also speaking of a good purpose. For example, when we go to the book of Nehemiah, here we find there's encouragement being given. Let's just read from verse 17, "Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me." This is Nehemiah speaking. "As also the king's words that they had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work." So here's the strengthening of the hands for a good purpose. The strengthening of the hands for a good work. And here we find back in 1 Samuel 23, when Jonathan comes to David, he's coming to strengthen his hand in the sense of making David, causing David to have that continuing resolve of heart to look to the Lord, even in the midst of difficult circumstances, so that there would be a strengthening of his resolve of heart to honour the Lord and to please the Lord, not to turn away from the Lord, not to forsake the Lord, though the circumstances that he's in are extremely trying and very, very difficult. He wants to come and encourage him by strengthening his hand. But you'll notice where the focus is. It's strengthening his hand in God. He wants David to have this resolve of heart, yes, but he's wanting it in relationship to the Lord. That's the reference point. You could say that's the reference point in Jonathan's ministry here to David. It is the Lord. He could have come to speak to him about many things and hope that they would encourage him. But he's coming to strengthen his hand in God. And he wants that to be the focus. The focus of all that he will say. And if that is the focus of all that he will say, then surely David's heart is going to be encouraged. Indeed, he will be strengthened in his resolve and in his will to continue to honour the Lord and to continue to look to him and to remain faithful unto his God. So that's something here of the encouragement examined. But I want in the second place to draw your attention to the encouragement explained. The encouragement explained. How did he really strengthen David's hand in God? How did he set about it? How did he go about it? What was it that he said that could possibly strengthen his hand in God? Remember, he's wanting to strengthen his hand in God so that David will wait God's time. He'll wait in God's time. He'll want to have David look to the Lord, that the Lord in his way will bring him to the place appointed, namely to the throne of Israel. And so Jonathan is coming here with this purpose in mind to strengthen his hand in God. And you'll notice how he does it. What do we read in verse 17 of 1 Samuel 23? And he said unto him, here's what he said, "Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel." Thou shalt be king over Israel. In saying those words, what was he in effect doing? He was reminding David of God's promise. Of God's promise. What kind of a promise? I say to you, God's promise is always an immutable promise. It's an unchangeable promise. And that's exactly what Jonathan has come to do, to remind David of God's immutable promise. Now, when David's heart would be brought to think upon the promise, wouldn't his mind and his thoughts then be taken off the particular circumstances that he's facing, the situation that he's in as he's being hunted day by day by Saul in order to try and capture him and take his life? And so David needs to be thinking about God's word. He needs to be thinking about God's promise. And Jonathan comes and says, look, don't forget, David, you will be king, because that's God's promise. And there are no circumstances that can develop that you're going to face, difficult though they may be, that is in any way going to alter or change that promise that God has given. Surely that had to be a great means of strengthening David in God. When he was thinking again of God's word, of God's promise. So here is Jonathan saying, look, remember what the Lord has said. And my father Saul can't change it. Oh, we know what he's trying to do, but he'll not succeed. He will not change it. And what's more, all of hell can in no way negate it, because it's God's immutable promise. And isn't that a good thing for us to be reminded of as we go through life? And maybe I'm speaking to some here and you're facing a very, very difficult situation. Perhaps you're in the midst of a very, very great trial. It might just be that you're saying, I don't know if I can take much more of this. I feel that I'm really at the end of my tether, as we might say. Oh, I ask you to remind yourself and be reminded of God's immutable promise, and we'll say more about that in a little while. So he comes to remind him of the promise. That's going to be one means of strengthening his hand in God. But then he's also come to do something else. He wants David to recognize. He wants David to recognize something. He wants him to recognize that there's a purpose being wrought out by God in all of this. Now, Saul is out to frustrate that purpose, but here's a word of assurance back in verse 17 again, "For the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee." Shall not find thee. And as we go through life, even as believers, as Christians, there are times when the circumstances around us are most unfavorable. In fact, we would describe them as dire. And it's to the point where we really can't find any rational explanation for them. And we're maybe beginning to ask questions and pose the questions before our own minds. Well, why am I having to face this? Why am I having to go through all of this? Why is it that the sky seems so dark over my head? And all the while the Lord is working out in his gracious providence his purpose. Because God has a purpose for your life, child of God. He has a purpose for my life. And in his providential dealings and in his providential workings, he's going to work out that purpose in ways that we may think are strange. And we would say, well, why does it have to be this way? But then, are we saying that we would be wiser than the Lord? Are we saying that the heart of God is not a heart of love towards each one of his children? God's heart is a heart of love towards his people. He has a heart of love towards you, even in the midst of your trying situation, even today, even this past week, or what you think is going to occur this incoming week. God has got a purpose that he's working out. And he was working it out here in David's life. And Jonathan, his friend, is coming, and he's wanting David to derive from the promise of God fresh confidence and assurance in the invincibility of the purpose of God. And when we can get a hold of that, that's got to be a great encouragement. That's got to be a means of strengthening us. Got to be a means of strengthening us, surely, in the Lord. So he has come to remind him of the promise and have him recognize that God is working out his purpose in all of this. But he has something else to say, something else to do. That's going to be another means of encouragement. And what is it? Well, we've read of it there in verse 18 of 1 Samuel 23. And the words are these: "And they two made a covenant." And the two that are being referred to there are David and Jonathan. "And they two made a covenant before the Lord. And David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house." So, this is going to be a means of encouraging David, of strengthening his hand in God by the renewing of a pledge. The renewing of a pledge. Because that's really what we're reading about here in verse 18 when we read they two made a covenant. We could substitute the word pledge for the word covenant. They are making a commitment a pledge, a covenant. But you might say, well, yes, I see that's what the verse says. They too made a covenant, a pledge, a commitment. But the question is, what kind of a covenant? What sort of a pledge? What is this commitment that we're reading about? They too made a covenant, a pledge, a commitment before the Lord. And I said that this is the reaffirmation of this pledge. Because this isn't the first time. When we go back in previous chapters here, in 1 Samuel, we discover that this covenant, this commitment, this pledge has been expressed. It has been made before now. For example, when you go back to 1 Samuel chapter 18, let me read just the opening verses. Verse 1, and it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant. Jonathan and David made a covenant, made a pledge. Why? Because he loved him as his own soul. Can you see what's happening here? What's taking place? This was taking place in what I might say would be relatively quiet and good times as far as Saul and David were concerned, when this covenant of friendship was being made, because that's what it is. It's a covenant of friendship. It's a pledge of friendship. It's a commitment to friendship. And that's what we've just read there. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. It is a covenant of friendship. You say, well, that might have been quite easy to do, because there didn't seem to be the antagonism between Saul and David at that point in time. It would be easy for Jonathan, Saul's son, to make this pledge, to enter into this commitment, into this covenant. That would be relatively easy for him to do. He wouldn't be incurring the disfavor of his father in so doing. But then we find, as we follow through, and we come to 1 Samuel chapter 20. And notice what we read in verse 16. So Jonathan made or cut a covenant with the house of David. Jonathan made a covenant. It's the same pledge. He's renewing it here. But there's been a change in circumstances. There's a different situation now entirely that exists between Saul and David. And Jonathan is fully aware of the situation that exists between his father Saul and David. And yet we read there in 1 Samuel 20 that the covenant is reaffirmed, the pledge is made again. The circumstances that have changed in no way are going to interfere or in any way disrupt this covenant of friendship. Even though Jonathan knows that it will thoroughly displease his father Saul, with him keeping this friendship with David, his friend. But nevertheless, he renews the covenant. And then, when we come here to the chapter that we've been reading from, 1 Samuel chapter 23, we find there in verse 18, again, they too made a covenant before. It's something that's solemn and serious. They're conscious that these are not just words. They're doing this before the Lord. And they're conscious they're doing it before the Lord. Because it says that. And they too made a covenant before the Lord. So, even though there's intense pressure from Saul, even as far as David is concerned, yes, and perhaps Jonathan too. Nevertheless, it's not going to change this covenant of friendship. Even though Saul's opposition to David has been intensifying almost on a daily basis, Jonathan leaves the palace, seeks out his friend David in the wood, and they too make a covenant before the Lord. He has come, what to do? With purpose of mind, to strengthen his hand in God. And I'm saying to you that in renewing the covenant of friendship, that's going to be another means whereby David will be strengthened with resolve in his heart to still continue looking unto the Lord. Yes, that's something of the encouragement explained. But I want in the third and final place to draw your attention to the encouragement experienced. It's one thing to talk about encouragement, isn't it? And it's good to do so. But oh, just to experience that in your own life. What an experience it must have been for David here. Having had Jonathan come, and as he comes, his opening words to him are, "Fear not. Fear not. For the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul, my father, knoweth." He's wanting David to actually experience this encouragement. Not just simply to hear the words. And it was good that he heard the words. And it's good for us when we hear the words. What words am I thinking of? Well, just what we've already said about how that Jonathan came here to strengthen David's hand, and he did so by reminding him of the promise, getting him to recognize the purpose, and then reaffirming the pledge. It's good for you as a believer to think of those promises of God, that you might experience in your heart, in your life, real encouragement in your own experience. What promises? Oh, there are so many, aren't there? So many. "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." How blessed to experience that. Think of that promise, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Who to experience that? To know that consciously in your own heart, in your own soul, the Lord with you. The Lord with you, promising you, "I'll never leave you." That means in the midst of the fiery trial, he won't leave you. He'll not forsake you. Oh, to experience that. And just as there was the reminder to David here that the Lord was working out his purpose, so it is in your life, just to realize that afresh and know and be able to say, "Look, it's difficult here, yes, but the Lord is good. What will he show me? What will he teach me going through this fiery trial?" And you'll be saying, as Paul said when he was writing to the Christians at Rome, in Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good. You say, "But preacher, I can't see the good." But the Lord does. And all the things are working together in your life as a believer in Christ for good. Because who's controlling the all things? It's the Lord himself. That's why they'll all work for your good.
Because the Lord's in control of all events, of all circumstances, of all situations, and his timing in everything is right. But what you mustn't do is misread the providential workings of God at the expense of the promises of his word. You say, what do you mean? I mean this. You think of Jonah. You remember Jonah? You remember the word of the Lord that came to Jonah? Where he was to go? He was to go to Nineveh. That was the Lord's word. The Lord's word sure. The Lord's word certain. But then Jonah, he read a lot of things into the providential outworkings, didn't he? You remember he went down, there's a ship. Oh, there's a place on that ship for me. Oh, I've got enough money. I can pay the fare. And we know what happened, don't we? It wasn't God's will for him to go in that way that he went. It would be so easy sometimes for us to misread and misunderstand God's providential workings. We should never do that at the expense of God's word, because God is working out in his own wise way and purpose things that we will not comprehend and things that we will not understand. But we do know that all things work together for good. And that's why Jonathan comes here and says, fear not. Fear not, David. There's someone much greater, much bigger, much more powerful than my father Saul. There's one sitting upon the throne, even now, who's controlling all of this. And so it is for us to remind ourselves of this today. Tried and tested child of God, I exhort you, I urge you to look to the promises again, to the word again, and leave that all before the Lord and plead that in prayer at the throne of grace. For the Lord's heart is towards you as his child, and his way is always best. Sometimes we don't want to submit to that way. And if we're not doing that, then we're really trying to reject the Lord's authority. We're really disobeying his word. We're not honoring him the way that we should. But oh, here is Jonathan coming with a word of encouragement. A word of encouragement to David, coming to strengthen his hand in God. What believer will you go to? Another child of God to encourage them? To strengthen their hand in God by just doing what Jonathan did here to David. Just reminding them again of God's word, God's promises. He's working out his purpose and letting them see that you're still remembering them. You're still their friend and you're wanting to help them and you're wanting to encourage them along the pilgrim way. Surely David's heart was moved Godward after he heard this word from Jonathan. And isn't that what we should all want? Our hearts moved Godward because the Lord has come and given us an encouragement to look to him, to continue on with him, knowing that the all things work together for good. But maybe you're here listening to this and you're not a child of God. You're not saved. You're not in Christ. You're trying to make your way through life all on your own. And you think you've plotted out a course that will maybe be successful. Ah, but it won't. You need the Lord. You need to be saved. And there's only one way to be saved. That way is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. For he said, he made that unique claim of himself, for himself. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You need to come to Christ today. And then you will know what it is to have the encouragement that we have been speaking of from this portion of God's Word. Encouragement that you have never known before, you've never experienced before. There's no encouragement like God's encouragement in and through His Word. May the Lord bless His Word to all our hearts for Christ's sake. Let's bow in prayer. Our gracious God and Father in heaven, we lift our hearts to Thee in our Savior's name, giving Thee thanks for Thy Word, and asking that Thou wilt take Thine own truth and bless it to each heart as Thou seest need. Bless the hearts of Thine own dear children. Speak to those who are not yet saved. Grant, O God, that there will be that work that only Thou canst do, wrought in hearts this day, to the praise and the glory of Thine own great name. We ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.